I'm Jared Wesley Singer with the Water Justice Laboratory, and I'm here today with Professor Sasha Wagner, who studies dissolved organic matter. Thanks for joining me, Professor Wagner.
Thanks for having me, Jared. I'm really excited to be here and talk about my work and how it relates to the things that you've been working on.
Can you please introduce yourself and give a overview of dissolved organic matter in small streams and big rivers?
Sure. So I'm a relatively new assistant professor at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in the Earth and Environmental Sciences Department. And my research is quite broad, and it pretty much broadly focuses on the biogeochemistry of dissolved organic matter in a variety of different aquatic systems. So this ranges from small headwater streams, like small ones that you can jump across easily through estuaries, all the way out to the open ocean. It's a really broad area that I study, but kind of focusing on the same thing, dissolved organic matter, and we call it DOM for short. All of us have encountered it in our daily lives, particularly if you are near a waterway. So DOM, or dissolved organic matter, is really it's a complex mixture of millions and millions of soluble organic molecules. Really, this is what gives water its color. So if you look at a river and you see it slightly brown or slightly green, then that's DOM that's giving it its color. And the DOM that's in there comes from both natural sources, so living organisms. If you have algae that are proliferating in the water, they can release some dissolved organic matter, but also a detrital material. So this includes things like soil or decaying leaves on the landscape. DOM can also come from anthropogenic, so human-derived sources like agricultural runoff or wastewater or other synthetic materials. This is all included within the bubble or the sphere of DOM. Dissolved organic matter is mobilized by water. As you can imagine, it's dissolved, it's in water. And this occurs during rainfall events, or if you live in an area that's snowy, like here in upstate New York, snowmelt plays a big role in mobilizing dissolved organic matter. These dissolved organics are really important in connecting land to aquatic systems because it's flowing between these two reservoirs. And so to just talk a little bit about how these processes might be different in small streams and big rivers, or just processes that affect dissolved organic matter in general. When you're talking about small streams, the dissolved organic matter in these waterways are typically produced locally. So whatever is leaves falling from the trees, the soils that are in the zones that are right next to the stream, the DOM is usually from that local area, whereas much larger rivers, so the main stem of the Hudson, for example, integrates these catchment-wide dissolved organic matter inputs. So you can imagine all these tributaries coming together. There's a variety of different dissolved organic matter sources, and they're being reworked within the river network as it flows from the headwaters to the mouth. The way it's reworked, it includes a variety of different biogeochemical processes. So some of these processes include being broken down by sunlight. So if it's exposed to sunlight, you can change the chemistry of dissolved organic matter. Or biodegradations. Microbes can chew on these dissolved organic matter molecules. All these different sources and processes that are acting on the DOM pool. Collectively, these DOM molecules tell a story about the water's history and overall catchment health. And this is really similar to when you go to the doctor, you have a blood sample collected, and they do a variety of different tests on them, and then it gives you an indication of what your human health is, like how healthy are you. And so we do the same thing with DOM in rivers. Because it's roughly made up of roughly 50% carbon, it's a huge global carbon store. And so a lot of my research is devoted to studying particularly that last point, determining the role that DOM plays in both regional and global carbon cycles.
Yeah, wow. That is a lot that's interconnected. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate how human activities may specifically influence dissolved organic matter?
Really, any kind of development that alters our quote-unquote natural landscapes, there's very few landscapes that are natural anymore, but any development that alters existing or these more natural landscapes can change the composition of river DOM, essentially. So we can look at a few obvious examples, and this includes things like urbanization, so the growing of cities, and but then also agriculture. So for example, converting forested landscapes to agricultural landscape. Both of these processes, both urbanization and agricultural development, can actually increase, for example, the amount of organic nitrogen, sulfur, and phosphorus in streams. So you're releasing a lot more nutrients when you're making these changes to the landscape. But also less obvious, things like building dams or draining wetlands can also dramatically alter the clarity and color of river water, which pushed out from the landscape to these river systems.
You were talking about how dissolved organic matter can be like a bill of health for a waterway.
Yeah.
What are the characteristics of a healthy waterway?
Something that's important to remember is that all river systems, in their, even in their natural state, are going to vary. There's going to be some variation. So the Colorado River, which drains very arid regions out west, is going to be really different in its natural state than, say, you know, the Hudson River was before it was developed by humans. Having lower nutrient concentrations is generally an indicator that a river is healthy, because what happens is if you end up releasing a lot of sulfur, nitrogen, and phosphorus collectively, we just kind of call these nutrients, because these elements are what microbes need to grow and survive and to thrive. And so what happens is if you end up putting in, let's say, wastewater treatment plants or converting forested landscapes to agriculture, and then you apply fertilizer, you're going to have a lot more nutrients running off. And so these microbial communities, such as algae and things, can bloom and become problematic, because they in and of themselves can release toxins and other harmful molecules, but then also they have other lingering ecological effects. For example, when these algae bloom because of these nutrient inputs, they end up kind of sucking all of the oxygen out of the water, because they need the oxygen in addition to the nutrients to do their work, to synthesize more organic material and to grow. So what that does is that takes away all the oxygen from the other organisms living in the water, like fish, and so you can have fish dying off.
The Riverkeeper network of labs has been measuring Enterococcus bacteria in the Hudson River as a proxy for fecal matter entering the Hudson River through combined sewage overflow events. And that's where a rainfall event will overflow the sewer system and put raw sewage directly into the waterways. Could you comment at all about how these kinds of CSO events might affect dissolved organic matter in the river systems?
Actually, I've done some research in the past that has looked at dissolved organic matter characteristics in a variety of different watersheds, and there is absolutely very specific signatures that come from wastewater, and I would expect these CSOs as well. From a DOM perspective, I would expect these CSOs to have an immediate impact on water quality. These are also point sources of pollution. And again, getting back to, you know, linking these anthropogenic type inputs to DOM quality, typically CSOs or other sort of direct inputs of sewage, you tend to have not only the nutrients that we've talked about a bit already, things like sulfur and phosphorus and nitrogen that just come from human waste or other animal waste. There's a lot of enrichment in nutrients in these waste products. But also, as I mentioned before, dissolved organic matter is made up of a mixture of many, many different, you know, millions of individual molecules. And there are certain types of molecules that come specifically from these wastewater treatment plants, and they give off a certain signature, which you can track using a variety of different analytical techniques. They can be molecular techniques or optical technique. Essentially, in a very basic sense, you shine a light on your sample, and based on how the light interacts with the DOM, you can get a feel for what kind of chemistry is going on in there. So these CSO waste products that are entering rivers can have the specific signature, and then therefore you can sort of infer that they're going to have some issues or create some ecological issues.
Is there any other very important aspect of dissolved organic matter that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, there's a lot of other aspects aside from anthropogenic development that can impact dissolved organic matter in rivers and other waterways. So even in relatively pristine environments, rainfall runoff processes have really emerged as these key controllers of DOM in rivers. And I think that this also links into what has been observed for CSOs, which during these high flow events, like during rainfall, you have this raw sewage plus rainwater entering these pipes at the same time and being flushed out temporally, meaning, you know, at a very specific point in time, the CSO effluent becomes a real problem. But also during these storm events, you can have a lot of natural DOM being exported from the watershed. This rainwater infiltrates the soils and the landscapes, and then you end up having concentrations of DOM increase because you have a lot more interaction with the water and then all this detrital material that DOM comes from. And so water velocities are also increased during these hydrologic events. And so there's a lot of soils and other sediments that can be picked up and carried further downstream. kind of taken together, when you have these storm events, you not only have high river discharge, but the river is carrying a lot more DOM. And then it also has higher turbidity or cloudiness levels. And so there could be a lot of sediment material, soil material, bacteria, other microorganisms that may have settled out during drier periods. It's a fun area to work in. I essentially chase these storm events within rivers. Having done a little bit of research in this area, it's pretty logistically challenging to go out and kind of chase storms and collect these samples by hand in non-ideal conditions. There's been a lot of work and a lot of future work that I think needs to be focused on in collecting higher resolutions data in stream. So we have these sensors that you can kind of stick in the water, and it can measure data points every 15 minutes. And so you can really capture a lot of these really dynamic events. It's a rapidly growing area of research that I'm particularly interested in.
Thanks, Sasha. If we at the Water Justice Lab can help you do any sampling of these dynamic storm events, we're happy to help.
Of course, that would be wonderful.